You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I wanted to give you an update of what's happening in Washington, D.C. The Speaker of the House, together with a number of Republicans in the leadership, the party leader Eric Cantor, as well as several of the committee chairmen, including Congressman Sessions here in 32nd District of Texas, are going to visit the president. I think they're in the White House as we speak. What they're going to offer the president is this: a six-week suspension of the debt ceiling until November 22nd. And what that enables the Secretary of the Treasury to do is sell more securities. Because like what you need to understand is every month the taxpayers are sending into Washington, D.C., roughly, you know, on average, it's going to vary from month to month, and there is a wide variation, but approximately $225 billion. That's $225 billion. Now, that covers about approximately two-thirds of all spending, and it covers mandatory spending. And mandatory spending includes the interest on the debt. That's why there's absolutely no chance, I shouldn't say no chance, maybe one in a million, maybe one in several million of a default, because the interest on the debt on any month, it's going to again vary, but it's usually less than $35 billion. It has been going up as the amount of the national debt has increased. Obviously, the interest on that debt is going to increase. So why today it's less than $35 billion on average, over time, if we continue down this path of more and more debt, yes, the interest is going to go higher, higher, and higher. And that really is the long-range problem. Spending is the problem. It's not deficits. It's not the debt. It's spending. We've had year after year after year of unbalanced budgets. And just before I came into the studio, I was reading an article that the president, we're in fiscal year 2014, that just started 1 October. And they were already estimating that the deficit for this year will be $750 billion. Now, that's President Obama's estimate. That's the White House Obama administration's estimate of what the deficit will be in the year that we're currently in. We don't know what the deficit was for the year just ending. Like I said, and I was right on this, the report that the MTS report, the monthly Treasury statement report, is due out. It was due out today, the eighth business day, but there was a little note that the September report, that's what we're talking about, will not be released because they still need to wrap up the end of the fiscal year, and it's going to be delayed. They know what the numbers are. They know how much tax revenue was brought in, and they know pretty much how much they spent. You know, there's going to be always a little rounding errors. They probably know to the nearest billion at least what they've spent. But the public doesn't know. And I think to a certain extent, they're playing politics, because I'd like to know that number. I'd really like to know what the deficit was for the last year. I think it's probably going to be, my estimate, it's probably going to be about $900 billion. It could be a little higher, it could be a little lower. I think it's pretty much going to be under $1 trillion, which is good news. Let's say it's $900 billion. Then for the 5 years that President Obama has been in office, the average deficit average, in many years it's higher, was $1.2 trillion. We just literally cannot keep doing this. It's going to crash. And why is it going to crash? If we have to borrow one-third of every dollar that we, the federal government today, is spending, one-third of that must be borrowed. That means we can't pay for all the federal departments, all the agencies, and all the programs that the federal government has. Now, why do I say that? Mandatory spending includes Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, interest on the national debt, in various income security programs such as, you know, food stamps, supplemental nutrition assistance program, as well as, you know, payments to the blind and disabled, those types of programs. If you add all those up, and most people would say, you know, that should get high priority. They should be paid first. People are dependent upon their Social Security checks. Doctors who treat the elderly are counting on getting their Medicare checks for the treatments that they've given the elderly, as well as Medicaid checks for medical treatment for the indigent or poor. So I think there would be a big consensus that if you were going to rank what you would pay first, the entitlement programs, all the entitlement programs, together with the debt, you got to pay the interest because you need to borrow the money. I would say number one priority is you always pay the interest. You do not want to default because, see, if you default, what happens? You're going to have to pay a lot more in interest from that point forward. That's why they'll never default. They'll find ways to avoid that at all costs. Right now, interest payments of $35 billion, we have that covered at least between six and seven times. You know, you can do the math. Assuming I'm right that the average is about $225 billion, and that could be a little off. It could be a little high. It could be a little low. I don't have the last month's September's information because the Department of the Treasury hasn't put it out. I'm close. And that's the point I'm making, and a lot of other people that follow this closely. It's laughable for the president to say that we're going to default on the debt. Now, I don't want to go overboard on that argument. It does drive me nuts, and I know many conservative commentators nuts, as well as people in the know financially, when the president says, well, we could default. And the Secretary of Treasury says it again today. That's a lie. That's just a scare tactics. There's a lot more to be scared about, but it's not that. Because I know, and most people know that follow this, that is simply not going to happen, at least not right now. Now, if we were paying $100 billion every month in interest, and believe me, that could easily happen within 10 years, if not sooner, then the probability of default goes way, way up. Right now, it's a long shot. You know, one of the, Bill Gross, who manages a very large, one of the largest, if not the largest, bond portfolio, you know, he gave the odds 1 in a million. And he was commenting about the fact that some of the mutual funds, such as Fidelity, have gotten out of short-term treasury bills. Well, apparently his firm got in it. Now, I think Bill Gross is right. They're not going to default because they know, the Treasury knows, if they did that, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. You don't do that because that means you're, from that point forward, you have to pay a lot more interest on all your debt securities that you would be auctioning. It's stupid. It's ignorant to say it, and it would be a very stupid thing to do. But we have a president as well as Secretary of Treasury that keeps repeating that line. Now, what's true is, and here's where I agree with the president and agree with the Secretary of the Treasury, to pay bills, you have to borrow money. Roughly every dollar, about a third of that dollar, has to be borrowed. And the Treasury Secretary says by the 17th of October, he doesn't have enough money. He's getting money in, but he can't pay all the bills. And that's the truth. That's why I know Congress is going to increase the ceiling debt. That's why they made this offer today to suspend the debt ceiling limit for 6 weeks into November 22nd. And what that means is the Treasury Secretary can continue to borrow above the previous debt limit. And that's what they're going to do. One of the concerns I heard voice was that come for November, they need about $80 billion to send out Social Security checks for November. That seems about right. I don't know if the number is correct, but that's the number I hear. And you see, because the biggest part of mandatory spending are entitlements. 70% of the entitlements are 70% of mandatory spending is Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So if interest is $35 billion, which I think is high, but let's say $35 billion, and $80 billion is for Social Security, those two items alone would be $115 billion. And I said, on average, we bring in tax revenues about $225 billion. So that leaves another roughly $110 billion to pay for Medicare, Medicaid, as well as the various income security programs. Such as SNAP, but also checks go out to the blind and the disabled. There are other items, but the biggies by far are Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. But you should be asking yourself, well, what about the rest of the government? That is the question. In other words, all federal departments, including the Department of Defense, are what's called discretionary spending. And that needs to be totally financed. The government can't pay its bills without going into debt. This is not the way it used to be at all. At one time, mandatory expenditures were near zero. Almost 100% of all spending was discretionary. And what I mean by that, every year Congress had to authorize spending as well as appropriate funds for the various departments, agencies, and programs of the federal government. However, over time, starting in 1935, we had Social Security. I believe 1966, we had Medicare come in, and we've had a number of, and then we had Medicaid, and we had a number of other food stamp program came in, I believe in the 70s. So what's happened is an increasing percent of total spending is mandatory. And the reason it's mandatory is people that are entitled to it, they qualify for the benefits. When they apply, they need to be paid. And remember, both Social Security and Medicare is a pay-as-you-go system where people that are working today, their payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, and disability go to the government to pay people that are receiving Social Security and Medicare, or are on disability, or blind, or blind or disabled. Now, before I forget is unemployment compensation. When you're working, you pay for unemployment, and if you should become unemployed and qualified, you can apply for unemployment compensation, and you'll get it. All of those programs are mandatory because funds are being paid in by Americans that are working to be paid for those Americans that are either retired or become disabled or qualify because of their employment situation. And it's mandatory that they be paid. That's why it's called mandatory. There's no discretion about it. The difference really needs to be kept in mind. And I've listened to several talk show hosts that I really know they haven't really done their homework. It comes right down to that. It's not hard to do the homework. All I would say to them is Google MTS Treasury Department, and you'll get the monthly statement. And it's a large report, but you only have to scroll down really to the first three tables. The first table will give you by month how much the government collects in taxes. That's from all taxes, as well as how much it spends. And then you can get details by month and by federal department and agency what they're spending. And part of that is the interest part, you look under the Department of Treasury. I believe it's Table 3. I might be wrong on the number. But it's near the top is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of detail in that report. I'm really skimming the top, but the information is readily available. And the people that follow this, which includes me, know that. And occasionally I will dig down if I'm interested in a certain department or a certain category of spending. I can dig out that information, and the past reports are available. And usually after the fiscal year closes, these numbers are also incorporated in the OMB numbers that you can get for past years. That shows you what was actually spent as well as what the actual revenues were. So the information is available. But what I think, what I would say to if you're interested in this topic, and you should be, you need to understand the government has to borrow money, must borrow money to pay its bills. There's no way around that. Why I take exception to what the president and the secretary say regarding default on the debt, I really think that's scare tactics. I really think it's unnecessary. I think it's beneath them. I think you should tell the truth in this regard, not try to scare people. And that's all it is. Because like I said, it would be beyond negligence. It would be gross incompetence. And I would say impeach whoever would do it to default on the debt when you have the money. See, that's the point. You have tax collections every month. People are paying their taxes. They're paying, you know, if you're working, you're going to get a check and there's some withholding as well as payment of your Social Security, your Medicare, and your disability insurance. You pay it. You're paying your payroll taxes as well as estimated income taxes, and that's across the country, and all that money flows in to the Department of Treasury, and they in turn authorize the payment of money for the various bills that the federal government has. So why tax collections cover mandatory spending such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment compensation, food stamps or SNAP, as well as other programs, and the interest on the debt, that's only two-thirds of total government spending. You have a big one-third, and what most people think of the federal government is in that one-third. That's all the federal departments, all the agencies, and almost all the programs, except with the only exception being those that are so-called mandatory spending type programs. And virtually all of those departments, agencies, and programs, the only way the federal government today can pay for that is to borrow the money. So that's why I said, listen, it's up to Congress to do that. Congress is going to do that. Am I surprised that John Boehner goes to the president and say, okay, we'll extend it for 6 weeks. We'll suspend the debt ceiling for 6 weeks to November 22nd. No, I'm not surprised. He had to do it. He knew that. The president knew he was going to do that. This is what I would call political theater, or two drama queens. Everyone knows it's theater. Now, let me tell you this morning. I usually listen to the Bill Bennett show, at least for the first 2 hours. What really drives me nuts is they cut the last hour off here in Dallas, and Mark Davis, who is a local talk show host, used to be on 820, now has moved over to 660, but he starts 7 to 8. He has it from 7 to 10, and on Fridays he substitutes for Bill Bennett, who has Friday off. So in Dallas, at least, I don't know across the nation, the last hour of the Bill Bennett show is really the first hour of the Mark Davis show. And it annoys me to no end for this simple reason. Many of the people that Bill Bennett has, a lot of people that he brings on the show for in a whole host of subjects and has them interviews them and has people call in. And many, many, many times, I want to hear them. I really want to hear them, and I can't because of the way they've done it in Dallas. I think it's a big programming mistake. It is very, very annoying. And I hope someone listens to that and passes the word. Although I can speak about it, I'm sure there are thousands of people, if not more than that, that really don't like that. And I remember the first time I ran into that, I wasn't aware of this changeover. Suddenly, Mark Davis was talking. I said, man, did I oversleep or something? Because, you know, I thought it was around 7 o'clock. And it was. It was around 7:06, 7:07. Man, I must have overslept because the Bill Bennett show goes to 8. You know, is it 10 after 8, not 10 after 7? Well, I found out that in Dallas, Texas, in the surrounding vicinity, the last hour is Mark Davis. Now, enough said about that. So I'm listening to Mark Davis, and he makes the announcement that I believe at the top of the hour, I might be wrong on this, but he was going to have Congressman Sessions from the 32nd District in Texas on, and he's going to be going to the White House today. Well, okay, Sessions talked, and, you know, Davis asked a few questions, but I kept saying to myself, what are they not talking about? What question is not being asked? Immediately, you'd want to know, okay, they're going most likely propose to the president. And I don't recall, and I should, whether Sessions said this or not, because I've heard it a number of times today. I don't know when was the first time. But that they were going to definitely go. He was going to go with the leadership because he's chairman of one of the committees, as well as being in the leadership of the Republican Party in the House. He was going to be one of the people that would go from Capitol Hill to the White House. I believe they were leaving at 4 o'clock to arrive at the White House at 4:30, and then have a meeting with the president. And they went into details and all that. But I said, what's not being talked about? What's not being talked about are these huge deficits. We're talking about debt ceiling being raised. That has to be raised. The government literally, if the government could not sell securities, could not. Let's say Congress said, nope, we're not raising the debt ceiling. That's it. No more increases in the debt ceiling. What would have to happen? For all practical purposes, most of the government would really have to be shut down. We're not talking about an 85% of the government being shut down. I'm talking about nearly all of the government. Because what did I say? The discretionary spending that pays, that is the budget for all these federal departments. The only way they can open those federal departments and pay the people they work there is simply borrow the money. That's why we have deficits. That's why this is the fifth year. In 5 years, on average, we're running a deficit of about $1.2 trillion. You add that up, you can do the multiplication. In five fiscal years, we've had deficits totaling over $6 trillion. Over $6 trillion. That's why several times that President Obama has been in office, you've had raises in the debt ceiling. And there's no end in sight. There's no end in sight. Has it gone down a little bit? Yes. It has gone down, the deficit. The spending hasn't gone down. The spending has been more or less the same. What's gone up are the revenues. The revenues are increasing, but not the spending has not been cut. And see, that's the point. If I were interviewing Sessions, Boehner, the president, or anyone, I would confront them and say, I hear a lot of talk about balanced budgets, but you don't seem to get anywhere near over time to a balanced budget. When are you going to start cutting federal spending, including entitlements, including all the federal departments? That's what needs to be done, and that's not what really is talked about. You see, all they're going to be doing, all this political theater, and the reason why they use the debt ceiling as a lever or leverage is to make the Democratic Party, both in the Senate as well as the president, to cut spending. They won't. That's the problem. They won't. They refuse to negotiate. They refuse to cut spending. That's fiscally irresponsible. That's insane. That's insane. And that's that, in a nutshell, is the problem. And it's not that the Republicans are much better, because we're going to find out in a week or two, when that Treasury report comes out, that we've had another year of massive deficits, most likely around $900 billion. And the year we're in right now, the president's estimate, and that's really on the optimistic side, we're going to have another year of deficits. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is we have gridlock. We have divided government. We have one political party, the Democratic Party, that wants to increase federal spending as well as increase the tax burden on the American people. That's what they want to do. That's what they've said. It's undeniable. Even though today, as we speak, the revenues through September 30th are going to be approximately $2.7 trillion. I might be a little high on that. Somewhere between $2.6 trillion and $2.7 trillion. But the expenditures will be right in the neighborhood of $3.7 trillion. Maybe a little lower, maybe a little higher. You see the problem? Let's say you're earning or taking home in your paycheck $3,000. But every month you spend $2,000 more. That's a deficit. You have a monthly deficit of $2,000. So over the year, if you continue that pattern, you're going to be in debt $24,000. And you're probably going to use a credit card to do that. Now, what if you did that for 5 years? You'd owe over $100,000. And at some point, whoever is giving you that credit card is going to come to you and say, listen, you have a problem. You're overspending. You're only bringing in $3,000 a month, but you consistently are paying spending $2,000 more. They're going to cut you off. And that's literally what has to happen with the federal government. You're going to have to cut them off, because we, the American people, are being played as the suckers. You see, the people in Washington have a problem. I call it SAD, spending addiction disorder. We have a political class, the so-called ruling class. They're both Democrats and Republicans, and they're both addicted. They both have SAD, spending addiction disorder. They literally cannot balance a budget. To save their lives, they could not balance a budget. And they think that the way to get out of this mess is more and more and more debt to finance, to pay for more and more spending. Now, anyone else, whether you're an individual, a family, a business, a charity, your church, a public school, a college, a city, a county or state, every other entity like that must balance their budget, because they know if they don't, they can be out of business, or their charity has to close, or their church has to close. You need to be prudent. You need to be fiscally responsible. You need to be a good steward of the resources that are entrusted to you. You cannot, year after year, week after week, month after month, year after year, run deficits. Yeah, you can get some credit. if you have income coming in, but that's not unlimited. It is not unlimited. At least for individuals, families, businesses, charities, government entities, it's not unlimited. You do have a certain capacity for debt or to use credit, and you should use. I'm not against credit. I'm not against debt, but it has to be, the amount of debt you take on has to be consistent with your ability to service that debt, which means pay the interest as well as pay off the principal. And the problem, ladies and gentlemen, we have a federal government that's out of control. The problem is spending. It's not revenue. There's more than enough revenue coming in. As a matter of fact, the fiscal year we just ended, we've had more revenue than in any other year in the history of the United States. And that probably around $2.7 trillion. That's a lot of money, folks. That's $2,700 billion. For most of the history of the United States, until very recently, that would cover everything. You could have surpluses for as far as the eye can see. But that revenue is, it's not magic. That revenue had to be produced. People had to create goods and services. Remember, that revenue comes from taxes that everyone pays, whether it's payroll taxes, personal income taxes, corporate taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, you name it. All those taxes together, federal taxes combined, last year were about $2.7 trillion. And for at least through, I would say, the early 2000s, that would be more than enough to pay all government spending, and we would be running a surplus. What's happened in the last 5, 6, 7, really the last 12 years, it started under President Bush and it continues under President Obama. We've had wars that always cost money. They're not free. And we've had an expansion of entitlement programs, including Part D prescription drugs under Bush and Obamacare under Obama. The absolute last thing you should be doing, because entitlements already, Social Security and Medicare, are the major drivers of these deficits. And it's only going to get worse as more of the baby boom generation retires. And the number I keep hearing is every day about 10,000 baby boomers qualify for Medicare and or Social Security. So that liability is going to grow and grow. So yes, maybe they need $80 billion for Social Security for the November checks, and we do have over $225 billion to pay mandatory spending. And we could pay the interest, we could pay Social Security, we could pay Medicare, we could pay Medicaid. We could pay all the mandatory spending, but we literally can pay none of the discretionary spending. That today is roughly a third. You see the problem? And we're not confronting our problem. We need leadership, and it takes two to tango. But under the leadership of President Obama and Harry Reid, they have refused to negotiate on this. And that's why we're in this predicament. We've added to the national debt under President Obama over $6 trillion. When he took office, the national debt, I might be a little bit off on the number, was, I believe, 10.9. We're over $17 trillion as I speak. There's some games being played at the Treasury, but we're over $17 trillion. We're over the ceiling. And with this suspension that probably they have a handshake on, I'll know when I get off. I was trying to get the very, very latest, and they were still in the White House as I walked into the studio. The debt ceiling is going to be suspended, and all that means is the Secretary of the Treasury and the Treasury Department can now continue to go into debt more. They can issue Treasury bills, notes, and bonds. And they'll do it. So that's why I say that we're over $17 trillion. We're heading towards $20 trillion. And by the time this president is out of office, he will probably add to the national debt over $10 trillion. He will nearly double, if not double, the amount of national debt in just 8 years. That's sad. That is the result of spending addiction disorder. And that's an addict, folks. That's someone with a bad habit, a very bad habit. That's fiscally irresponsible. I call it fiscal insanity. No one in his right mind would do this. I'm part of the conservative Tea Party movement. They're trying to demonize me and call me an extremist, an arsonist, an anarchist, a kidnapper, a hostage taker. Excuse me. Your rhetoric is way over the top. Look in the mirror, fella. You're responsible for this deficit spending. You're responsible for this increase in the debt. You have had no leadership from the Democratic Party to deal with this problem. None. They want to increase it. And their answer is more and more taxes. They know they can't get it passed. That's why they lost the election in 2010 and in 2012. Yes, President Obama got reelected. Surprise. Now, for those listening that are unemployed and voted for Obama, since he's been president, the unemployment rate has been above 7% every month. And over half the months, it's been over 9%. That's the highest unemployment rates since the Great Depression. It is the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression. That's why you have so many unemployed people. And that's why government revenues are way down. And they're way down because businesses that create the wealth, create the income, create the jobs, are not doing it. And the reason is very simple. They have lost confidence in the ability of either political party, Democrat or Republican, to live within the means of the American people. They know, as well as individuals know, you cannot continue to do this. You literally cannot continue to do this. It doesn't end well. Because as the debt gets bigger, what also gets bigger? The interest on this, the interest that you have to pay to service that debt. And we've had a Federal Reserve, which I was going to get on, but I'll save it to tomorrow's program, that has consciously kept the interest rates down. They've had what's called near zero interest rate policies starting since December of 2008, where the Federal Reserve, federal funds rate has been kept at 25 basis points or 0.25. The average for that number is usually somewhere between 5 and 6%. And the reason why they've kept it low is to keep the financing charge of the federal government low. That cannot go on either. And when the ticking time bomb, the debt time bomb blows up, interest rates will go from $35 billion very quickly to $100 billion. And that's monthly. And that's when it gets real serious. And that's when departments will be closed, entitlement programs will be cut, and we have to get serious. We've been wasting time. We've been wasting 5 years to deal with this, and we're not dealing with the problem. Neither political party is. The president of Democrats don't even want to talk about it. They're in deep denial. I'm looking at the clock. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. My next show is from 3 to 5, and it'll probably be a special edition. I will focus on updating what's happened today, as well as discuss the role of the newly designated Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, and what can we expect from her in terms of any change in the federal monetary policy. Thank you. Have a good evening.